lifted up in our praise and our worship. In Jesus' name, we love you, Lord. And all God's people said, amen.
Here and I'm grateful for my Savior God up in victory.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Every victory.
King who reigns for all eternity. It's
sing his name. Come on.
Jesus.
One more time. You sound great. Sing it out. Can you lift your hands with me and sing this out? I exalt thee. Sing it right to him. Sing it right to Jesus. I exalt thee.
I exalt thee.
more time. Come on, sing it right to him.
Jesus. don't understand it. If someone's left hand, right here, every ring finger and pinky just itches like crazy, I think you just need to accept that healing in Jesus' name, so I don't have to have that anymore. I don't know who you are, but if you are, just raise your left hand. God's going to release the power of God in your life right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that you are the healer in this place.
Yes,
I thank you that you are the deliverer in this place.
Yes.
I thank you that I'm the Savior in this place. Jesus, there's no other place we would rather be than where your presence and where your name is. Lord, I'm reminded in the book of Matthew about the authority. Lord, I thank you that that centurion understood his authority, and he understood the authority that Jesus carried. And he simply said to you, Lord, just say the word. Just say the word. Jesus, you marveled at him because he understood eternity. He understood your kingdom. Lord, today we ask for revelation knowledge in our own spirits, that we will understand that when we speak, they're not just words, but in the name of Jesus, healing happens. The anointing is released. The power of God is generated. God, we thank you that today we stand here as ambassadors, representing heaven and releasing the power of God on this earth. In Jesus' name, we are not just the church. We are the church, the body of the living Christ, acting as he acted, doing what he did, saying what he said. Jesus, thank you for the privilege and the honor of being in your kingdom. We love you and we need you. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. I don't know, I'm just shocked you're sitting in the middle. I don't know what to do with myself. I'm glad, Chris, you're right there. I can spit right on you today. I feel Jesus. Amen. I love you. You may be seated. I'm going to have this young couple here come on up. We want to take the time. This couple, we married them last Saturday. Amen. Y'all know Alan, he's the banana. In every kind of every event we have, he's the banana. Except for Easter. Amen. But Amanda's not from here. Her pastor sits under us in Kentucky, and they sent her to Bible school here. And we don't keep our Bible school students. We send them home. Well, the problem was she snagged a good man on the way. Amanda, we're not angry with you. We just don't blame you. Alan has been such a tremendous man of God for this house. If you know anything about Alan, wherever he is needed, he is there. And he loves people. And he's a good minister of the gospel. He's been raised right. You better do it right, or I'll come out there and beat you. In Jesus' name, take care of my spiritual sons. I'll whoop on you. So this is their last Sunday. They're heading back to Kentucky, Louisville, Kentucky. And I said that right, didn't I? Louisville? Amen. I was corrected when I went out there. I said, Louisville's nice. Louisville, Pastor, Louisville. So they're heading out this week, and they're going to be moving back there, and they're going to be serving in the church at whatever Pastor Tom needs them to do. And they're going to be a phenomenal asset to the kingdom of God in Louisville, Kentucky. But we're going to miss them. We love them. And before they go, we wanted to pray for them. Amen. So we're going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the anointing. I thank you, God, for destiny and purpose. I thank you that our steps are ordered of the Lord. In Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that their marriage is sealed. Now they are one, working as one in ministry. Father, as they head out to this new adventure that you have for them, I ask in your name that you will use them in such a great capacity that it will even stun themselves. Abundantly above all you could even ask and or imagine, Lord, let the anointing be so strong that Pastor Tom will just say, I need to send more students to New York. God, use them. Let them know we love them. We're here for them. And that, God, you are sending them. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. We love you. So now we have a problem. We need a new banana. So if you are willing to be the banana, please see Alan before we leave. You're actually our official Easter bunny that our pastor doesn't want to show up again. Did anybody see that video of Brittany in the Easter bunny costume beating up the big Easter egg with the golf club? You need to look that up online somewhere. It is a phenomenal experience. It needs to be put on America's Funniest Videos, the Mad Easter Bunny. Amen? Amen. Miss Carla, where are you?
Good morning. This is hot. Good morning.
Good morning.
Wow, that was a powerful time of worship. I think they all went slain in the spirit because it's awful quiet out there. Good morning, His Tabernacle family. This is the year of Built Different. And you know that one of the ways that we are built different as God's children is that we operate in God's economy. And what that looks like is that there is literally no financial distress for a person who operates in God's economy. And if you don't know what that means, I encourage you to sign up for the Step 2 Faith and Finances class that is starting on February 10th on Thursdays at 6 p.m. because you will learn what it means to operate in God's economy. But one of the strongest principles of that is consistency. Can you say consistency is everything? Wow. I don't think they got it. One more time. Consistency is everything, and we need to be consistent in operating in God's economy with our giving. And so that means that all the time we are intentional, we purpose in our heart every single week to give back to God the 10% that we owe Him. And this is something, a principle called tithing, and it's from the Bible. But I encourage you to be consistent. So if many people are out today, you're staying at home, you're watching online, the ways that you can give electronically are posted in the comment feed on our Facebook feed. I want to encourage you, do not lose your consistency this week just because you may not have been able to get here today. For those that you are here, if you are consistent, I applaud you all for doing it. And I know that you're seeing God move in your finances. I'll give you a quick, my husband and I sowed on New Year's Eve a first fruit seed. Within 5 days, we got 18 times back the seed that we sowed on New Year's Eve. God's economy works, and you need to remain consistent. So if you're all here and you're ready to
give. Can I give a testimony too? I sowed personally on New Year's Eve and received double of what I sowed from another country.
Hallelujah. Yes, amen. The principles work. And so it only made me wish I'd sown more. But perpetual seed produces perpetual harvest, so we continue to participate. So if you'll all stand to your feet, we are gonna recite our supernatural declaration from the Word of God in Deuteronomy chapter 28. And it goes like this. If I obey, I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse. And I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings are going to chase me down. They're going to trip me up. Because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're giving online, you can text your amount. Thank you.
the story ends. Come on, gave me a reason to dance. Gave me a reason to dance. Gave me a reason to dance.
Gave me a reason to dance. Hallelujah. Gave me a reason to dance.
Gave me
a reason to dance. Hallelujah. Gave me a reason to dance.
Hallelujah. Amen. I'm so excited that you're all here. I want to welcome all those that are watching my live stream. We have a large crowd on live stream this morning, and we know it's because you're not in the building. I'm just glad that we are a wise church. Turn to somebody and say, you don't got to be dumb. Amen. Amen. And a lot of people, you know, some churches won't cancel, ever cancel. We don't like to cancel, but thank God we have two services. Amen.
Amen.
And I want to give a shout out to all of the service people that are out today salting and sanding. Some of them have been up all night long. We just want to give God a thank you to them because they made it so that we could be here for the 11 o'clock service. Today is a very important day. We launched it this morning at 7:45, the week of fasting and praying, our prayer summit 2022. You should have near you a beautiful, beautiful pamphlet. And I didn't see them until they came out. It's Volume 2, Edition 1, Spring 2022. And it gets into our prayer summit schedule. And I want to encourage you to participate with that. As well as, we're going to be fasting. No, I didn't say going fast. I said fasting. And if you do not understand fasting, maybe you've never done fasting, it's a great day to start. That was more amens than I thought I was going to get. It's a great day to start fasting, amen? But you're saying, I don't know how to fast. If you will go to Thursday night's Rock Solid Faith on our YouTube, His Tabernacle YouTube, and or you can go to our His Tabernacle Facebook, go to Thursday, I taught a whole class on fasting and prayer, and it will educate you on how to fast. Fasting is very important. Why is it very important? Because Jesus didn't say, if you fast, he said, when you fast. And fasting is healthy.
Amen.
Amen. For those going on elongated fasts, for a week or over a week, you'll see great results in your physical body. But more than that, in your spiritual man, you're going to become more keen to the Holy Spirit's voice. So I encourage you to be a faster. No, I didn't say run faster. I didn't say be fast. I said fast. And you will be blessed and grow and mature. So in this is so much. We have Ithaca campus in there. We have our Mansfield campus in there. We have what you can pray for when you're fasting. We have how do I fast is in there. Let me see what else is in there. Health, finances, your covenant, amen, your families, and your ministry. And I want to tell you, you should always be fasting over your pastors, amen? Very important. So fasting is a major part of your spiritual life. We Americans are the one church that very rarely fasts. I don't know if you know that or not. Pretty much all the churches all around the world, it's normal for them to fast. But Americans, we just like our fast food. We don't want to fast. But fasting plays a major role in your life. I'll end with this and then we'll get into the message. I used to be part of I was a youth pastor at a church, and they used to bring in Ukrainians. They would bring them in and they would house them. They would bring them over from the Ukraine where it was religious persecution. And I remember the very first week that they came in, and it was like a month or so after they were there. But I mean, the very first week that I recognized this, it was Communion Sunday. And they refused to take communion with the American church. And I was a little bit taken aback, and I said, I don't understand that. And they said, you're not prepared for communion. And so I used to go to their house because they fed me really, really, really well. Pierogies, for Ukrainian pierogies are phenomenal. But you can always smell them coming like a half a block away. Amen. There's so much garlic. And so we're talking. I said to them, I don't understand why you wouldn't take communion. They said, because you did not fast. You did not prepare your heart for receiving communion. And in that country, they wouldn't dare to fast, they wouldn't dare to take communion without making sure that their spirit man was humbled and pure and ready to receive the celebration of the covenant of God. And, you know, we don't do that in America, but I want to encourage you should start fasting once a week. That's still better than I thought it was going to be. I said you should start fasting once a week. And once you understand fasting, you understand what I mean. So tonight at 6 o'clock is our first night of fasting and praying. So tonight at 6 p.m., I want to invite you back to the sanctuary. All those that are watching online, you don't have to worry about the ice. It will all be gone. Amen. There'll be no ice, but come here, 6 o'clock. Ready, we pray for 1 hour together. The power of corporate prayer. One shall put 1,000 to flight, but two shall put 10,000. And God is calling a fast. We do this every year, and we're going to do it twice a year again this year, where we're going to fast and pray every single year, a minimal of twice a year. Why? Because we need to be on God's page. When you don't fast, it's hard to be on God's page because your flesh is stronger than your spirit. Listen, I can't teach you. You'll have to watch that online on the fasting teaching. This is the year of... Hey, do I look skinny or what? That is another benefit of fasting. Glory to Jesus. I feel good. Will, I just want to let you know something. What you posted this morning on Facebook lifted my spirit. Whether you realize why that verse, God had you post that or not, it doesn't matter. What you need to know is you were led by the Holy Spirit, and that lifted your pastor. When I read that, it literally shifted my spirit this morning. Thank you very much. You don't know how powerful you are. You don't know who you're going to affect. You don't know the words that you speak and what you do and how you handle yourself is either going to bring someone to life or kill them. So you need to be a life giver. Can I hear an amen? Shout, I'm built different. I'm not the same. I'm not like the world. I'm a different person. Tell somebody I'm peculiar. They already know that. That's what it doesn't matter. I want to remind you that we have a different family. Once you're born again, you're in a different family. I don't know if you realize that, but you've got different blood. I said you got different blood. Listen, I don't care about the ice. You're going to shout, amen? I said, you've got different blood. If we can't celebrate the blood, we got big problems. Can I hear an amen or oh my? We have different laws. We have a different lifestyle. We have a different power. And we have a different purpose for being here on the planet. We have been built differently from heaven. You are not the same person you were. You are not going to act the same. You are not going to live the same. You are not going to hold yourself the same. You are not going to believe the same. You're not going to think the same. You're not going to talk the same because you are from a different planet. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Are you saying we're aliens? Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. You are foreigners. You are sojourners, the scripture says. You are not from this place. We are dual citizens. We are a citizen of the kingdom of God, and that's our dwelling place. Can I hear an amen? But we are stuck here on this earth to do the will of God while we're here. Amen. Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, our verse for the year. So then, you know, I'm not sure what I'm going to do only preaching one sermon today. Oh, I heard that. I was just waiting for that. Take your time. Glory to Jesus. Ephesians 2:19 says this, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens. Turn to somebody and say, I'm a citizen. Now, citizenship, as we talked last week, is the number one blessing you can have when you're in a country. Because citizenship opens you up for rights. If you are not a citizen, you have no rights. But God is saying that you are a citizen of heaven, which means you have rights in heaven that people that are not citizens do not have. That means if you're not born again, you can pray, but God don't hear you. Amen. See, there's a philosophy out there that if I'm not born again, I can pray and God hears me. The only prayer that God is obligated to hear from an unbeliever because you are not a citizen is the prayer of repentance. Now, God, by his mercy, I believe, steps in every once in a while. We call it prevenient grace. When God gives you something before you deserve it, can I hear an amen? But at the same time, you and I who are citizens, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that we have the right. Turn to someone and say, I got the right because I'm a citizen. I have the right to come before the throne of God boldly. The word boldly means being outspoken. Man, how dare you be outspoken before the king? How dare you think you have the right to say, God, this is what I want, and be bold about it, be strong about it, be outspoken. I'll tell you why, because you're a citizen, and he gave you the right to come before the throne with the blood of Jesus Christ. And while you are there, when you pray, God starts moving. Can I hear an amen? When you pray in the name of Jesus, the Bible says if you ask anything in my name, the Father will give it to you. We've got to know that this is not some nice little church experience, but we're talking about kingdom principles. We're talking about being built different. The Bible says you are fellow citizens and saints. Turn to somebody and say, I'm a saint. Well, you know, Pastor, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I'm just a worm. Well, you might be a worm, but I ain't no worm. I'm a son of God. Can I hear an amen? You see, all how you view yourself makes all the difference in the world. If you don't believe you belong at the table, you're never going to come up to the table. When I was a child, they had a kid's table. Anybody remember that? The kid's table for Thanksgiving. Go to the kid's table. I remember the kids' table, man, but the adults out there, they had the spread. We had to come out and kind of pick through. But they had the spread at the adult table, and one day I remember I graduated. Wah! And I don't know if it was age or just they were sick of me nagging. Sometimes not a bad thing to nag. And they let me at the adult table. I didn't have to go to the kids' table anymore. And I want you to know, I felt good going to the adult table. And after that year, I realized I have the right to go to the adult table. And every year, I just kind of bellied up to the adult table because I felt I had the right to do that now. Where you don't feel you have the right, you will never exercise. So as sons and daughters of God, you have been given the right as citizens. You've been given the right because you are part of the household of faith. And I want you to recognize it's not our households, it's God's household. And God runs his house differently. Have you ever gone to someone's house and when you walk in, they say, please take your shoes off? Doesn't matter who you are. Don't matter if you're a president of the United States. You're taking your shoes off. And people come to my house and we've got these, we've got the hardwood floors through and we live in what I call a lived-in house. And you come to my house and you start taking your shoes off, I say, what are you doing? Because your feet are going to be cold. You need to put your shoes back on. Well, you know, I don't want to dirty the floors. No, that's what they're there for. So you see, my house is different from your house. And I knew this lady, there was a living room in her house you were not allowed to go into. It was a fully furnished living room. I'm talking like a beautiful couch. Everything was set up right, but nobody was allowed to go in there. She maybe went in there maybe twice a year with special guests, but you couldn't bring a drink. You couldn't bring any food. It was sterile. You had to go in. Has anybody ever been to an Italian house? I'm not talking an Italian house. I'm talking an Italian house. I remember I was in New Jersey doing evangelism, and I went to a lady's house. She was Italian. And we sat down, and she made us a 7-course meal. Woo! I was full after 1.5. Amen. That's when you know you're in an Italian home. And then we went to go sit down on the couch, and it went like this. Because she had it covered with plastic. You know you're in an Italian house when it's covered with plastic. Can I hear an amen? You see, every house is different, and you got to obey the laws of the house you go into, or you might not be accepted back. So we're part of the household of faith, And our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be his name. Holy is his name. Glorious is his name. My Father, he said, I got things that I want you to do. I got stuff you could come and ask for, but there are principles and rules I want you to live by. You can't come in my house and stand on my couch. You ever had some child run into your house and start standing on your couch? You know you love the parents, and you just want to slap that child. Well, you know, they do it at home. Well, they don't do it in my home. Why? Because my home is different. It's okay if it's your home. Man, you ever seen a dog just jump up on the couch? I'm talking the dog is bigger than the human. We had this dog, Benelli Brown, 125-pound Labrador. I remember when he jumped up in our bed when he was about 100 pounds. I looked at him and said, wrong room. Why? Because you don't belong on my bed, especially when you're the size of the humans that are in the bed. Get out. You see, you got to obey the laws because this is a household. And when you understand the household rules, you get the benefits of the household. And when you get, listen now, when you live in a rich man's house, when you live in a rich man's house, there's nothing lacking, nothing missing, nothing broken. And when you ask for something, you don't need to go, well, you know, can I have a Pop-Tart? No, how many Pop-Tarts do you want? It's not, well, you know, I'm hoping everything works out. No, no, no. What do I got to do to change things? Money's no issue. Power's no issue. I can do whatever you need to do. When you live in the right household, I don't know if you've ever read the book, Rich Man, Poor Man, but if you've ever read and understand what it's like to live in a rich man's house, I remember Pastor Cody brought teenagers back. We want to pray for them. They're traveling today. They went down to Elevation Church this whole weekend to go to their youth conference to bring back more principles to make it even greater here. Amen. So they're traveling back from there today. And so I remember when he brought a bunch of teenagers home. Now you see, you need to know that we have problems here because I haven't even started my sermon and I just feel really comfortable. So if you need to leave, you can leave. There is nothing restraining you. Amen. So I remember he brought these kids home who were from the streets of Elmira. And they walked in my house on 19 Palmer Road South, which is a very, it's just a Cape Cod. The floors aren't beautiful. I mean, the staircase is all roughed up. The wood's all roughed up. And they came into my house and they looked at me sitting in my chair. And they said, yeah, it must be nice being rich. And I said, what? Because I've been in rich man's house. You know you're in a rich man's house when they got a bidet. Glory to Jesus. Oh, my God. Somebody's saying, what is a bidet? Look it up. Yes, it's a toilet that cleans you. No paper needed. Glory to Jesus. You were okay during the pandemic. You know it. So here we are. Yeah, some of you just don't know. But when you've been to a rich man's house, it changes everything because you see different. Now I want you to know, that was an $89,000 house they thought was a rich man's house. But I remember where I came from. I remember our house in Massachusetts cost, what, $8,000. I remember I don't remember it. My mom and dad told me. But down in the basement, they literally had loads of laundry that were all the way from the dirt floor all the way to the ceiling that were all molded and nasty. In where our living room was, they never let their dog out of the house. The dog crapped and peed wherever he wanted. And there would just be mounds of dog crap and pee all over the house. And I remember when my dad started transitioning the house to make it better. He tore all the floors out. I don't, Ma, how long did we walk on planks? That was a long time. My dad, because all the floors were open to the basement, had planks you would walk on through the kitchen, had planks you would walk on through the living. Rich? Baby, I'm no rich. I didn't come from no spoon in the mouth. But I want you to know something. I've got a king because I'm part of a household who has everything I need. And more than just I need, he said, I'll even give you the desires of your heart. There's not one thing that God cannot do. There's not one thing God cannot afford. There's not one thing that is impossible for my king. And I thank God I'm not part of my household. I thank God I'm part of his household. And in God, there's nothing impossible if you only believe. Shout amen. You've been built different. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 9 through 11, I think we should start preaching. For we are God's fellow workers. Turn to someone and say, get to work. You are God's field, God's building. Look at now, your body is God's house. It's not your house. We can't do whatever we want to do with what we got. When I pray, this is usually my prayer when I'm giving thanks. I'm in my house, which was cost more than $89,000 now. Nice house. In my house, out on our 35 acres ranch, I'm out there and I'm walking. I call it the Spencer Ranch. So I walk around my house or the house and I go, Father, thank you for allowing me to live here. Father, thank you for the cars that I drive. Thank you that you would have ridden a Harley Davidson if you were on the earth now. Say amen or oh my. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing of food that's in my belly. Thank you, God. I start recognizing who owns the house. When I declare by God's stripes I am healed, I'm declaring that God is healing his own house. And that anything that is foreign is what? It is a criminal trying to break into the house of God and leave something that's trying to be destructive. I'm not letting it, listen now, you come to my house, you should let me know before you come to my house. And don't you walk in my house, oh, I'm just going to warn you. Don't walk in my house uninvited. You will be met. It doesn't go warnings. You'll be met because you don't belong in my house. If you're uninvited, you don't belong in my house. And I'm going to let every intruder know, you don't belong in my house. Get out. When sickness invades your body, you have the right because you're part of the house of God. Shout, I've been built different, that you can make a declaration. You're an invader. You don't belong here. Get out of the house of God. According to the grace that God has given me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care of how he builds. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. I want you to know if you've been built different, you got to have a foundation. You can't just build. Man, I've been in the countries where they just build. In our church down in Mexico, when you start going out to the villages, Terry can ratify this with me. He's out there with me. These are shack homes, baby, with little tin roofs on them, if there's tin. They all do have a television set and a cell phone, but the floors are dirt. If the wind blows, down goes the house. Amen. What is that thing? Never mind. No, let's move on. Okay. I was thinking about the bad wolf. Don't worry about the wolf. I kept seeing his nose, the wolf. Don't worry about the wolf because it would have been blown down. We have got to recognize that we have to have the correct foundation. Nobody chooses your foundation but you. This is why some people are successful in their walk with God and some people are not. It has nothing to do with God loves me more or God loves me less. It has nothing to do with it worked for them and it didn't work for me. It has everything to do with the foundation. If you've been built, come on now, built different, then there's only one way to build, and that is on Jesus Christ, the Son of God. What is a foundation? The very definition is this: the load-bearing portion of the structure. That is what carries the entire load of the building, which means if your structure is incorrect, you cannot stand when the storms come. So specifically, you have to ask yourself a very clear question. What is my foundation? I don't care if you've been born again 527 years. I don't care if you've been born again 6 months. You still have to ask yourself a bona fide question, and that is this: what is my foundation now? What is under me now? What am I building upon now? What is the load-bearing structure under me now? If you don't get this, when trials and tribulations come your way, you're going to struggle more than you could ever sway. I just watched online just the other day, an entire apartment complex in another country. I mean, it was like 7-8 stories high, built on the side of a hill. And I literally watched it fall. How many people were in there? I don't know. They didn't say. Did they get them out in time? I don't know. But man, there are folks that are in this room. You're going to choose not to build the right foundation. And when trials and tribulations come your way, your building is going to sway and your building is going to fall. Some will usually blame God. I was wondering where God was. And I want you to know something. It has nothing to do with God, because God is the load-bearing structure that those who have chosen to make Jesus the cornerstone of their life, he is the one that cannot be moved. He is yea and amen. His promises are true. He's given us a promise. He's given us an oath. God cannot lie. And we have a foundation that cannot be shaken if we truly are walking with God. This is big, because many of the body of Christ are going to churches. They're not teaching the foundation. Your foundation cannot be established on your religion. It cannot be established on your experience. Oh, man, I went to church and I felt the Holy Ghost. Great. That's the start. But what is your foundation? Because that foundation is what's going to keep you, not your experience. Now, listen, many of you don't know, but one of the jobs that I have on the side is I travel to churches that hire me. Thank the Lord, they hire me really well. They hire me to come and to help build their church. I go into their church, I restructure their structures, and I realign the pastors and help develop them so that the church can grow. And that's what I love to do. But you see, everything that you see upon church growth is developed upon the structure or the foundation. And if the foundation is not correct, it doesn't matter your vision. It doesn't even matter your purpose. Without the right structure, it will never happen. And there are a lot of folks who have a vision. There are a lot of folks who have passion. There are a lot of folks who have a desire. There are a lot of folks who believe God wants to use them in great ways. And that is true. But God is limited to your foundation. This is tough for folks to believe. The only one foundation is your relationship with Jesus Christ. When everything is said and done, it don't matter how much money you got in your bank. Doesn't matter what car you're going to drive. And I don't like to drive junk. It doesn't matter if you got $10 billion in the bank. The foundation that is necessary is, do I have an actual real relationship with Jesus Christ? Actually, our verse for his Tabernacle Family Church that God established from the very beginning is John 17:3. And this is eternal life, that you may know the Father and the Son whom he has sent. Eternal life is not getting to heaven. Everybody's making heaven your target. Heaven is not your target. Your target is, do I know God? Do I know Christ? Beyond just a concept or a theory or a theology, do I know him personally? Do I know his voice? John chapter 10, my sheep know my voice. Do you actually know him? Because until you know him, then when the troubles come, when the winds blow, when the trials are upon you, you have no foundation and your load bearing will drop. Now, one of the things that we did in Massachusetts, my dad and I, he owned that contracting business. One of the things we used to do, because the homes were very old, our house was 200 years old, but there are other houses in our town that were far more ancient. And I remember he would get a call, and they would say, Maurice, can you come and fix my house? It's drooping. When they enter the house, you could see, you look at the ridge line. Ridge lines are supposed to be, if the structure is solid, if your foundation is solid, the ridge line will be straight. If the ridgeline has a belly, it means your foundation is collapsing. You have a problem deeper than you can see with your eyes. Has nothing to do with the ridgepole, has everything to do, come on now, with your foundation. I remember we would have to go into these houses, and I remember one of them specifically. We took jacks, and we took this big board, and we put it across. It was, I believe it was a 2x10, pressure treated. We put it against the house, and then we put lags in it, and that stabilized it. Then we put underneath, we put these 40-ton jacks, and actually it was less than an inch, quarter inch by quarter inch by quarter inch, we literally took the house off the foundation. We're able to take out the old that no longer was going to be able to hold the structure that it was sitting on. And we replaced it with a brand new one. Some of you, God needs to do that, or you will not be built better. You will not be built different if you're using the same structure you've already used. You have got to know God. I don't care how you started. You could have had a phenomenal relationship 20 years ago, but you don't even talk to Jesus now. You come to church because you feel the obligation to come to church. You know pastor is going to nag you if you don't come to church. But you don't know God. There's only one foundation that actually matters. There's only one foundation that's going to keep you solid, and that is the one talked about in Corinthians. There is no other foundation that you're going to lay, but that is Jesus Christ. He is the sure-footed. He is the solid. He is the rock. Come on, now the Bible calls him the cornerstone. Not just the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21. We've got to recognize that the building we set up for has to be Jesus. And this year, as we have been built different, we cannot rely upon our emotions. Well, I feel God. Well, I don't feel God. Well, everything went good. Ha ha, I love the Lord. Everything is bad. God must hate me. No, 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 you got to get this thing. That's what this whole year is about. Making sure your structure is going to be solid. Making sure when the wind blows, come on now, you're not going to be laying down somewhere. Making sure that you're not going to walk away or become shipwrecked, as Paul would declare it. But you're going to be one no matter what comes down the pike, no matter where you are, no matter what circumstance you face. You know that your faith is in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. He is yea and amen. He said, I change not. Come on now. What I love about God is you can rely upon him, for God cannot lie, and God is solid and secure. Everybody else is going to come and go, but Jesus Christ is solid in our lives. Say amen. Amen. You got to know him. This is one of my favorite verses. It might take a long time. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8 says this. Paul is making these statements. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord. Get this now. He was in the top of his class religiously. He was a zealot. I'm talking like he would go find people of the way, the Christians, and he would put them in jail and beat them. When Stephen was stoned, he held those guys' jackets so they could stone him to death. This is a man that knew the law. This is a man that had his religion in his pocket. This is a man who had confidence. But he made a decision. He met Jesus. And I want you to know, you got to meet Jesus. Sometimes you got to meet him more than once. Sometimes, man, you've had a relationship with God for a decade, but you got to get down on your face and meet with Jesus again. Sometimes you got to have the fresh breath of heaven breathe back in your spirit. Sometimes you got to have that revival spirit running in your heart. You got to have the fire of God burning in your heart. Why? Because Jesus is coming. Man, we don't have the luxury of sitting back and sitting on a bad foundation. Paul said, my greatest thing is knowing him. Do you know Jesus, or do you just know about Jesus? Do you have a philosophy about who you believe God is? That's nice. But does it line up with who God is? I had somebody in Rock Solid Faith not too long ago said to me, came up after and said, listen, I'm really upset with what you taught in Rock Solid Faith. I was taught the exact opposite my whole Christian life. Now what do I do? It's not my fault. I didn't tell you to build a foundation. That was bad. I want to make sure you have a good foundation. And Paul said, if you know God, I remember one time I was taught my whole spiritual life that healing is not always God's will. Taught that my whole life. Whole life. I was taught that in Bible college. And I remember one day, because no one's getting healed in our church, up in Newfield, I said, God, I got to figure out what's going on here. So I grabbed the Bible and I started studying the Bible. Oh, you mean I didn't have to study some other man's teaching? No, I opened the Bible. The Bible is the will of God. I said, the Bible is the will of God. I said, the word that became flesh, his name is Jesus. Psalms 107, he sent his word to heal us. My God is alive through his word, because Jesus is the living word, the rhema word. You know God by knowing the word. You start laying a foundation by knowing the word. Your relationship with Jesus, that relationship of knowing him and talking with him and knowing him and growing in relationship, that's one step. The next step of the great foundation is knowing his word. But so many Christians, you couldn't combat a Jehovah's Witness if they came to your house. They know more of the Bible than you do. Mormon shows up at your house, nice tie, looking good. I like when they come to my house. They only ever come once. I always invite them, and I make them food. I can hold them longer with food. They've been walking all day long. I get them in my house, and because I know the word and I know their bad doctrine, I'm able to twist them. And they look at me and go, but we weren't taught that. I just don't get what you were taught. What's your Bible say? You have the Bible, right? Open your Bible. But that's not what I was taught. I don't care what you were taught. I care what the Bible says. Because our foundation cannot be upon a man's philosophy or a man's theory or a church's perspective. It must be in the Word of God. If you're going to have a foundation that is unshakable, that God can build a structure upon, that will, listen, I don't want to be just a structure. I don't want to be a little house. Anybody ever gone to a little house? No, I'm talking like those new little houses. Has anybody ever looked at RVs before? My wife and I went and looked at RVs recently, about 6-7 months ago, I think. We went to this one, and, you know, my wife's cheap. I mean, frugal. Did I say that right? She won't spend money. And I remember we went into this little one because it was the price range. Baby, we were going to bump each other when we turned. I said, Rhonda, this is a little house. She said, but we can afford it. And I said, can we at least go look at a big house? She said, yes. So we went into one of those big, long ones. Walked in there with the big slide outs. Come on now. With the real refrigerator in it. I felt the Lord. And we're walking around that place, and I said, look, baby, it has a king-size bed. Come on now in the bed. We got a king-size bed. There's a TV. Come on now. Do you know we ended up buying nothing? Because I messed it up by bringing her in that big old nice house. You see, I want you to know, I don't want a little house. I want a big house. I want a glorious house. God don't make junk. Can I hear an amen? He didn't make you to survive. He made you to thrive. He didn't make you to just be somebody that nobody knows. He created you to be a miracle worker. He created you to be a salvation station. He created you to bring an answer to the world he has penetrated you with. And it's time to say, God, don't make me a little house. God, make me a big house. But God can't make you a big house if you don't know your foundation. Woo! Preached myself. Yeah, that's good. Keeping notes? Good. I think I got more stamina because I'm thinner. Maybe I'll preach longer each church service. You got to know God. You want a good foundation? You got to know God. Amen. Two, you got to know the word. Listen, I don't mean to be a jerk, but rock solid faith is taught here every Thursday night here in Ithaca and in Mansfield. Three different times. It's online for free. And the majority of you, if I asked you a simple question, can you prove to me the triunity of the Godhead without giving me your opinion, only three verses, majority of you could not do it. Well, the triunity is one of the foundations of the body of Christ. But yet, getting people out to rock solid faith is so difficult. And as your pastor, what it does for me is I'm able to see who's going to become longevity. Longevity is dependent upon your foundation. I got folks that come in with the fire God. Wow, my God! I love Jesus! I don't really care. You can tell me all you want. I love Jesus too. But if you don't have a foundation, you're going to be a shooting star, not a sun. Listen now, you need to go to rock solid faith. You need to say, hey, now, I got to be there. That's right, on Wednesday mornings, we teach it too. So there's more times than you can count. Why? Because as your pastor, I don't want you to be somebody that's here for a little bit, gone. Somebody gets saved, backslides. Somebody who loves Jesus, all on fire for God, and then the fire is stuffed out because they have a bad circumstance happen in their life. The only way to make you strong is to make sure your foundation is immovable. It is literally the load-bearing structure of the house spiritually that you're going to build, but God will not, listen now, God will not build on a bad foundation. Let me say it again. God will not build on a bad foundation. There's a verse in the Bible that says, before you go and build a house, make sure you can afford to build the house so you don't get mocked when you're halfway through and you can't finish it. God will not build on a foundation that is bad because he knows it can't last. Some of you are wondering why, my goodness, you know, I've been coming to church and coming to church and coming to church and you know, I've been coming to church once a week or every other week or every third week as the national average is. And, well, you know, I read my Bible every day. Well, you know something then? Jesus is a fool because Jesus made the church. And he put the gifts in the church, the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, and evangelist. Why? For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, to bring them to maturity and to bring them to unity. That is the job of the pastor. That is the job of the fivefold ministry gifts. So if the church don't go to church, they're not going to get established. And then we wonder why when the government comes against us, everyone cowers in their homes. Fauci has more power than the Bible. You listen to the Fauci before you listen to Jesus. We've got to make a decision in our life. Who is our king? Who is our king? Whose word do we believe? We've got to make choices in our life. We did. We had to make a choice. When we lifted up that foundation, we jacked the house off the foundation. We had to choose what kind of structure we were going to put under it that would be longation or long-term. So we didn't do just boards. We oblonged them. Is that the right word? We off-centered them. So we'd have one long one behind it. We'd had a shorter one that went a longer way and then the opposite way and the opposite way. What do they call that when they do it? They staggered. And what do they call that when they put that together like that? What is it? Not tongue and groove. Laminated. Very good. Thank you. It was a laminated board. We glued in between, and we made sure that that was never going to have to be replaced again. We made sure that we put in the stuff that weather wouldn't destroy. We made sure that if something hit it, ain't going to move. And we made sure when we put the house back down on it that we put those big, long lags all the way through. Come on now. The house to attach it to the foundation. Are you attached to the foundation? Do you really know him? Are you just a good church folk? Or are you part of the house? Well, Pastor, I don't like the fact that you're making me question my salvation. Shoot, man, I don't know what else we should do. I said, because if you don't at least question where you are with God, then you can't be honest with yourself. And I know we don't like to be honest with ourselves. We always blame the devil as the greatest, as the greatest liar, as the greatest deceiver. But the greatest deceiver is not the devil. The greatest deceiver is yourself. You can convince yourself you're right. Well, you know, this sin I'm doing, I'm only doing it to make sure that I'm in the presence of other people that are, you know, I'm trying to reach for Jesus. Really? Really? We can excuse ourselves. Well, you know, the only reason I took a hit off that joint because I didn't want them to think that I was better than them. And they definitely don't now. You weren't built any different than they are. We got to make a decision. Well, you know, I had sex with my girlfriend because she said if I didn't have sex with her, I didn't really love her. And I just wanted to show her. You're a pig, man. You know you didn't want to. If she's good enough to bed, she's good enough to wed. Say amen. We'll validate and justify everything we want because our brain, the heart is deceitful above all things. Who could know it but God? That's what the scripture says. We got to make a decision what kind of house we're going to build. And then the last one, ready? I'm almost done. I haven't really preached that long. Just been having fun. Your relationship with Jesus, the Word, and the kingdom. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye. Second, third, fourth, fifth, when I'm comfortable. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The fact is, if you're not going to seek God first, you're not going to seek the kingdom first. Well, I don't even know what the kingdom is. Rock solid faith, by the way. Can you actually please God if you're not seeking what he told you to seek first? Anybody here ever done one of those rooms? What do they call them? Escape rooms? I hate them. You don't like them either? I don't like them at all. I don't like escape rooms. I'm free and free indeed. I don't want to put myself in bondage. My wife likes them, though. So we're in this escape room. And there's instructions. Number one, and they give you a riddle. And you got to figure out the riddle before you can get to number. Seek ye. How can you get to number two if you don't even get to number one? You want a foundation? You got to start with number one. You got to know Jesus. Come on now. You got to know his word. You got to seek the kingdom of God. You got to understand. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is how God thinks. It's how God works. It's how God releases power from heaven to earth. It's how God moves. It's how God's pleased. It's how he runs his house. How can you please the one in the house if you don't even know or go to the house? You see, this is powerful because this year we're either going to be built different or we're going to be built the same we were last year, and the same problem's going to come in your life and you're going to whine and curl up in a ball just like you did the last time. Well, you know, I'm giving up on God. Stupid. Well, I'm mad at God. Stupid. Don't cut your nose off, spite your face. That's a building you're building. And the building you build is determined by you and I, not God. You know, the Bible, I'm just going to read the verse real quick. Here we go, right? And almost done. I think that's my second closing, right? I get three. Can I have a little something to drink? No, that's good. Remember, he didn't go to the parking lot last week? We're going to work on that. No, he wasn't out there this week either. I don't know what we're going to do with him. Luke 6:46. Ready? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you to do? I got to read that again. Why do you call me Lord? Do you know what the word Lord there means? It means owner. You ever have a dog that just wouldn't obey? I hate those dogs. Come here. Walks away. Sit down. Looks at you. Walks away. Roll over. Do it yourself. You know that's what the dog's thinking. Fetch. You got to go get it now because you threw it. Don't bite them. Oh, too late. Why do you call me owner and not do what I tell you to do? Now, I didn't say that. That's the B-I-B-L-E. Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he's like. So this is what you and I look like. This is what our house looks like if we obey him. Obedience being better than sacrifice. He is a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood rose and the streams broke against the house and could not shake it, because it was built well. But the one who hears and does not do like the man who built the house, he is a man without a foundation. And when the stream broke against it, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of the house was great. Did you notice something here? The one who was built correctly had the flood and the stream, and it still stood. The one who didn't build correctly only had the stream, and it fell. Oh, I gotta say it again. The one who built correct, the flood and the stream came against the house, but the foundation was solid, so it could not be moved. The one who built the bad foundation only had the stream come against them, and their house fell. You know when I saw that? Just now. That's when you know it's a God deposit. I don't want to be a little house. When I get an RV, I don't want a little RV. I want to be a skyscraper. Got a little example for you. Skyscrapers are interesting. Because sky, is it behind me? Yep, there it is. I couldn't see over here, so I looked up here. Some of you don't know we have a TV up here. Now you know? So whenever you see me going like this, I'm not looking to Jesus. Here's the foundations. The Wilshire Grand Central in Los Angeles is 1,100 feet tall, and it has a 90-foot deep foundation. The Willis Tower in Chicago, 1,451, has a 100-foot foundation deep. That one, the next one in Taiwan, it's 1,667 and has a 262-foot. But I want you to look at that one. Can you see it? It's narrow and deep. The One World Trade Center was 1,776 feet and had a 150-foot foundation. The tower in China, you notice I'm not even trying to read those, 2,073 feet, and it has a 282-foot deep foundation, but it's narrow. The tallest building in the world is found in Dubai. It's 2,723 feet high. It has a 164-foot deep foundation, but it is almost double the width. That we may know the height, the depth, the width, and the breadth of the love of God. For everything with Jesus is all about love. You want a foundation? You got to know Jesus. And that is not established on an experience. That is not established on a religion. That is not established on a church. That is established by you knowing Christ. Today in this house, we don't have anything else to offer you. Listen, I know how to build a big church. 20-minute sermons that don't say anything bad. Never give an altar call. Never invite the Holy Spirit to come. Might scare people if the Holy Spirit shows up. I know how to build a big church. Our church could be 3 times the size it is if I did it without a good foundation. But I said to God, I will never sacrifice. I will never sacrifice the Holy Ghost. I will never sacrifice the Word of God. I will never sacrifice every single Sunday giving someone the opportunity to know you as their Savior and have their sins washed away. I could be double, triple. But I'd rather have deep and wide than shallow and sandy. Who are you? That is not God. That is you. That is what you determine it will be. You see, a skyscraper can fit a lot of people, can have a lot of businesses in it. Literally, a tall building is bigger than a small building. People recognize large rather than small. That's why God said to Abram, I'm going to make your name great. Why? Because the greater your house is, the more lives you can shelter. The more lives you can change. How deep, how wide? What is your foundation? Is it just church? Maybe you're missing the best part of the whole thing. That I might know him. I count all things lost. The word lost there means dung. Poo-poo. I count all things crap just to know Jesus. That's what Paul said. I think you'll realize as life moves on, you acquire more things, accomplish more things. You'll hear Solomon better, and he says this: vanity, vanity, all is vanity. Why? Because when you die, you can't take any of it with you. There's only one thing that really matters, and that's your foundation. Because when you see him face to face, you shouldn't have to go, is that the guy? That's him, right? You'll fall on your face. My Savior, my Master, I worship you. Ah, I know you. I know you. Does God know you? Does God know you? Everybody else in the world can know you, but does God know you? Because when you're known by God, that's that relationship I'm talking about. Everything changes, and you start building. You start building on him. Father, I thank you that this is going to be such a phenomenal year. Lord, that you gave us a prophetic direction. I know, Lord, it was from you. God, to build your church. This is not your church. We are your church. To build your church, to build your people. Oh. I feel the anointing. Holy Spirit, you're doing work right now in our lives. Stop paying attention to the person next to you. They're not going to stand with you in eternity. You stand by yourself. Does God know you? Your head's bowed and your eyes closed. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or maybe you once served God with all your heart, but man, you know you're not right with the Lord. You question whether you're going to go to heaven. Well, listen, the Bible says if you're not obeying Him, then you're not going to heaven. I don't mean to be offensive. Jesus did, but I don't. Jesus said, don't deceive yourself. Whatever you're sowing, you will reap. If you're not living right, you're not living right. Don't lie to yourself. Well, God loves me, I'm going to heaven. God loves you. Jesus died for you. But if you're not living right, you're not going to heaven. Don't be a deceiver to yourself. Boy, this is like a really intense sermon. You know, I kind of really just wanted to come and feel better. I braved the ice for this. Yep, you braved the ice for this. Because today, if we can get you to intentionally lay the right foundation, you will be immovable, unshakable. You will be powerful. You will be supernatural. You will be a skyscraper for Jesus, not a little house or a little RV that everyone bumps into and says, get out of my way. Today, if you're not right with God and you want to be right with Jesus, I want you to slide your hand up right now. Thank you, sir. I see it. Put it right down. You had it up before I even gave it. Anybody else? 5, 4. Come on, get your hand up. In the back row. Thank you very much. 3. Oh, come on. I felt the anointing on that. 3. Thank you. 2. Get ready. It's going to get ready. Last call. Thank you. Last call. You're saying, what do you mean last call? It might be your last call. Here it comes. 1. Let's all stand to our feet. Some of you are so brave. There's bravery in the room that goes two directions. Those that lifted their hands and said, I want to get right with God. You are brave, man. I'm so proud of you. God's going to reward you because He's going to say, you're a citizen now. And then there's some stupid brave people in the room. What do you mean, stupid brave? You know you're not right with God. You didn't raise your hand. You're stupid. Well, that's not nice. You can't fix stupid sometimes. When you've been given the opportunity and you're in the anointing and you have enough faith to be saved and you choose not to be saved, that's not brilliant. Well, you know, really? Drive your car off a bridge. No, that's stupid. Exactly. You're not right with God and this is your last day. And you didn't get right. You're not going to get right with God? That's just dumb. Somebody said to me not too long ago, you know, one thing I like about you, but I don't like about you is you tell it the way it is. Of course. I'm not going to stand in judgment for your soul. You're going to stand in judgment for your own. Which means if I don't tell you, I got to stand in judgment for it. I'm not willing to do that. I got enough of my own stuff. Say amen. So I'm going to tell you, because I'd rather somebody be honest with me. You ever have a snot, like, maybe on your clothing, or like you ate some food and you got a big chunk of food sitting on your face, or you got, you know, and everyone, no one tells you. You've got an entire meal, you got food on your face, no one tells you. You're smiling, you're laughing. And they're looking at you, and they keep going like this. Because they don't want to tell you. You got food on your face. You got a snot on your tie. I'm not willing to do that for you. And you can love me or hate me. It don't matter to me. If I'm not honest. When you find out you got food, you said, why didn't anybody tell me? Why didn't nobody in this room or online who watches on television ever going to be able to say, Pastor Spencer did not tell them? Because I'm telling you. Because I want God's best for you. I want you to have such a foundation in your life that when the flood comes and the stream comes, the house still stands. Amen. I love you. And I like most of you. Don't you dare settle for second best in Jesus. You've been built different. Amen. Father, there you are. There you are. Holy Spirit's moving. Listen to him. Jesus, you are so faithful to us. There's the anointing. Go. If you're sick, put your hands where your sickness is. God, I remind you in your word, our foundation, that signs and wonders will follow the preaching of the word. I preach your word uncompromisingly. I've declared who you are. Now I release signs and wonders in this room in the name of Jesus. I bind sickness in this room in the name of Jesus. We call the sinner to salvation in the name of Jesus. God, I break every single bondage that's in someone's life. I bind you, devil, in Jesus' name. I loose the anointing to set the captives free. To be like you, Jesus, is what our soul fights, but our spirit craves. Make us more like you, that we'd be built upon the rock and will stand for eternity, immovable, nothing missing, nothing lacking, and nothing broken. In Jesus' name, amen. If you raise your hand for salvation, Amanda's right on over here. You see my Amanda? Wave your hand, Amanda. Honey, do you need some money to buy new jeans? You got rips in those. Dr. Evanzini said that to my wife when he saw her the very first time she had those ripped jeans on. And he says, honey, if you need money, I'll go buy you jeans. And my wife said, those jeans cost more than your jeans. But if you raise your hand for salvation, don't you dare walk out. You raise your hand to get right. Don't you dare walk out. Don't you dare walk out. The Bible says, if you confess me before man, I'll confess you before my Father. Make your way right up on here now. Right down the aisle. Come on now. Right down the aisle. Meet Amanda right down here. Let me release a blessing. In the name of Jesus, I command the covenant of God to be manifested in the people of this house's life. I bind right now, Lord, sin that seems to be objective in their life. I bind that sin right now in Jesus' name. I loose the freedom of the Spirit of God. I bind right now sickness and disease in Jesus' name. I command it to leave their bodies for the glory of God. And I release right now in Jesus' name the blessings that are going to chase them down and trip them up in their soul and in their pocketbook in Christ's name. And everybody receiving said, I love you. Have an awesome week. Serve Jesus with all of your heart. I'll see you tonight at 6 o'clock for prayer.